Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Chloe Honum. Dr. Honum is an award-winning poet and assistant professor of English at Baylor. She joined the Baylor faculty in 2016 and recently was awarded the prestigious Grimshaw Sargeson Fellowship, New Zealand's most prestigious writing fellowship. The award will enable Honum to focus on her craft full-time for 4 months in New Zealand this spring. Honum, who grew up in Auckland, New Zealand, has been widely published and received numerous honors for her work, including a Ruth Lilly Fellowship from the Poetry Foundation. So she'll be heading to New Zealand before too long, and she is with us today on the program. Dr. Honum, it's great to have you on here today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's just start off with congratulations on the fellowship. That's a really exciting opportunity. And tell us a little more about this fellowship. What does it mean in the poetry community, and more specifically to you personally?
Well, thank you. The Grimshaw Sargeson Fellowship will allow me 4 months, as you said, in Auckland City. And I'll be writing in a loft called the Sargeson Center in Auckland City. And I'll be living there for 4 months. And the fellowship has a really amazing history in the way of the past recipients who have lived there and written there. So it's really amazing to join that history and to live there and write there and research. And it will really allow me to immerse myself in my current manuscript and to just write full time.
When are you heading down there?
I'll be heading there April 1st.
Also, very soon. We got you in just in time
before you
head down there. It sounds like there's something pretty special about being able, just the thought of having this loft, as you said, this writer's loft to spend time in, just sounds like it would spur the creative process. What does it mean to you to maybe have that opportunity to write somewhere that has a great history of writing behind it?
Yeah, I think writing in a place where other writers have written before, even though I'm writing there working on my own work, there's a sense of connection. There's a sense of kind of ongoingness, or a way that this fellowship and the space has provided this time for other writers and now is providing it for me, that there's a sense of being connected to a literary legacy there that's really special.
Sounds like kind of an aura about the place
a
little bit.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you say that there's a real history behind this fellowship, but you're going down there to write. How do you approach knowing that you're going to spend 4 months in there on your current manuscript? What are kind of your goals as you look ahead?
My goals are to first just have a time of immersion in the manuscript where I can wake up thinking about it and go to bed thinking about it, and use my days to just delve into it and explore it as fully as possible. And to be in Auckland will be amazing too, which is the city I grew up in. I grew up on the North Shore of Auckland. And to be in the city and to be around it, I know that that will really inform my writing itself.
Visiting with Baylor professor and poet Dr. Chloe Honum. You mentioned that you're a native of Auckland, New Zealand. How has the experience of growing up in one country and then moving somewhere else like the United States shaped you as an artist?
Well, I think it's given me in my writing a sense of the importance of setting and place and imagery and symbolism to the way that one certain thing can represent an entire place or a sense of a place for me. So I think about place a lot in my writing, and the imagery of New Zealand comes up often in my writing too, of the surroundings of my childhood. The ocean and birds and trees are things I return to really often because they were so present and so took up such an important place in my childhood.
You wonder how, as you go back there, that could shape more that you have on your plate here as you work on this manuscript, being back immersed in that.
Absolutely,
in that environment.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what shaped you. First, it just even sparked your interest as a poet. What were the biggest influences as you were a young person shaping your interest in poetry?
Well, one thing that stands out is that for Christmas in my mid-teenage years, one of my uncles gave me the collected poems of Emily Dickinson as a Christmas present. And I just loved those poems and loved that book and formed a real connection with it. And then when we had a poetry unit in my high school English class, part of that unit was not only to write poems and read poems, but to go out into the community and attend poetry readings. And so I got to see poets reading their work, and that really brought it into a different dimension to me, too, to see it up close and to witness poets reading their work was really exciting. So that sparked a big interest, and then I pursued that in college and took writing classes in college, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there a point when it clicked for you that, hey, this is something I could do as my career?
I had mentors and professors in college that I looked to and thought that, this is something I could do. And yeah, mm-hmm. Seeing them live their lives of poetry and teaching and gave me a sense that that was possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember after you received the work, the collected poems of Emily Dickinson, was there a time that you first tried your hand at it? I mean, I think kids in general, sometimes we write little poems in our head or little rhymes, but do you remember a time that you sat down and said, okay, I'm going to try this?
I do. And at first it was in journals. It was private. It was something that I did in a kind of, a diary-like way. Without an intention to show those poems to anyone. I wrote them for myself first, which is still part of my drafting process, that it feels like I'm writing in a way that is private. You don't want someone to see your first drafts necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then there's a real shift that happens when you start to show the poems to other people, which is something that now I'm, get very excited to see my students do in class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about that from the classroom side of things, because you write as a professional, but you also teach here at Baylor. And as I was looking at your website, you described the permission and possibility inherent in poetry. What does that mean to you?
A sense of permission means to me in poems that one needs to give oneself permission to write about, explore, articulate the subject matters that one is drawn to and that one most wants to write about, and that there's something that happens in writing poems often that what you set out to write about is not what the poem leads you to write about. So there's a sense of permission necessary there to delve into where the poem leads you and to know that to trust that there's something important there to keep going into, so that there's a permission there. And then possibilities are the possibilities of where that poem might lead. So that rather than thinking of this is what I want to say and how I want to say it at the beginning of a poem, that sometimes that can shift as you're writing the poem, and to be open to possibility and to give oneself permission to follow that and to trust in your own wants there. Yeah.
How much of your teaching is helping them develop just a base appreciation of poetry and great poems and the craft, and then how much of it is helping them learn how to write and try their hand at it themselves?
Well, certainly we read a lot of poems, books of poetry in the class, and I find that students have a lot of enthusiasm and passion toward poetry. They often describe my class as something quite different than some of their other studies. And I think that they have a lot of appreciation toward that. So often the appreciation is there. And then we just build on that and deepen that. And I emphasize that the importance of forming their own connections with the poems as well.
What would you most like student? How would you like students to experience poetry? Do you have a goal in mind as you're teaching to help them experience it in a certain way, or is it very different for each person?
It is different in some ways, but I want them to form relationships with poems that are important to them. Sometimes I talk about it in the way like if you find a favorite song, or if you hear a song that you really like, and you form this relationship with that song or with that artist maybe, but you have this song, say, and you listen to the song over and over, and it starts to mean different things to you. And you maybe you at first love the things that are more obvious about it. You love a certain the chorus, or you like you like the overall vibe of it. But then as you get to know it, you start to look deeper and you start to notice certain things about it that add to the whole in this really meaningful way. So that kind of engagement where you form this relationship or you have this connection, it's important to you, and then you look deeper at why, and you look at the craft and what's happening in the poem itself, you look at line breaks, or you look at a certain image, a certain moment, and you start to see, oh, there's a craft here, something's happening that makes this thing that speaks to me. And so that's the kind of engagement that I like and to see in Claus.
That's great. This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Chloe Honam, an assistant professor of English at Baylor and a poet. She recently was awarded the prestigious Grimshaw Sargeson Fellowship, and next month will be heading to New Zealand for 4 months to work on her craft. What is, Dr. Honam, for you the most rewarding part about working with students in the classroom?
I'd say one of the most rewarding parts is seeing them write poems that they're proud of, that they're excited about, that surprise them, and then seeing them share those poems with the class. We share the poems in a workshop format where everyone gets a copy of everyone else's poem, and then they serve as first readers for one another and give responses. So seeing those relationships build in terms of having a community of writers in the classroom, that's exciting too. But certainly seeing them write things that are deeply meaningful to them, and that then they get to see what they mean to other people too when they share it. So that's one of my favorite parts is seeing the poem itself and then witnessing that act of sharing the poem too.
What have you found about that? What have you discovered about the arts community here in general? Because we've been able to have on the program people who appreciate art in paintings, people who appreciate sculpting and different things. What have you found? What have you discovered about the arts community here as a whole?
Oh, it's been really exciting to get to know. Very vibrant. I've found the community to be very supportive of the arts, and that's been a really wonderful part of getting to know Waco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Baylor has made human performance through arts and the athletics one of the four main pillars of Illuminate, our academic strategic plan going forward. You know, you think about business or the sciences, different things, but, you know, when you talk about the College of Arts and Sciences, arts is the first word in there, even before sciences. What do you see the arts contributing to a community of learners as large as Baylor and just to the campus environment in general?
Mm-hmm. I see the arts as so important as a way that, I mean, thinking of the students taking classes in art and poetry and art as a way of exploring questions in a new way. And that through art, that students are getting to know their own questions and their own deepest concerns and aesthetics and thoughts. And it's a different angle to get to know that. So that for the art itself that's produced too and that the others get to engage with is wonderful. And I think also the way that those that exploration and that sense of discovery through arts can carry into all facets of one's life is also a really important aspect.
This is Baylor Connections. We're visiting with Dr. Chloe Honam. So I think anyone listening might have one of the same questions I did as you talk about teaching, as you talk about writing. How do you balance those two responsibilities? And maybe is there a lot of overlap?
There is overlap in the sense that my job allows me to swim in poetry, that I think about poetry all the time. I think about the poems that I'm reading with my students. I think about the poems I'm writing myself and the books I'm reading and thinking about teaching. So I get to, poetry is part of my daily life, of course, which is a wonderful thing that I get to, that just carries through my days, whether it's teaching or writing or preparing or researching or reading. But how to balance the two, for me, setting aside time that's dedicated to write, a full Saturday, certain hours of the week that are just my time to write has been very important as well, just to carve out that time and devote it to the writing. And I have all kinds of little tricks to get that to occur, whether it's, you know, a certain room in my house that I close the door and turn off the internet and things like that. And then, of course, coming up, this fellowship will allow me the full 4 months of that. So, yeah.
Some solitude, some opportunities
Absolutely.
To really focus.
Yeah.
Here's a really broad question. So how could you help us understand the inspiration process, that work of taking an idea and a blank page and turning it into something?
Let's see. Well, first I'd say that there's not one way to do that. But for me, I'll say free writing is really helpful. Free write helps me just get everything out. And then once I have ideas out, then I can start that crafting process, that shaping process. But to give myself some freedom and some lack of judgment with the free writing can be very helpful.
Are there common themes that if we read your books of poetry or works, you mentioned place is one of them earlier, mm-hmm. but there are other themes that we would find in your work?
Themes in my work, sure. There's grief and dealing with loss. There's place. Beauty as well has been something that I've always been written about often. And how those things intersect, too, how beauty and pain, what is the relationship between those and how that shifts. And, so those have been sort of ongoing themes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have how many books of poetry that you've had published?
Two
books of poetry published. What does it mean to you to see your works published and know that other people have access to those and be able to experience this, kind of see the world through your eyes a little bit?
I think that's been a really interesting process. It's been a process of letting go, in a way, of the poems that at one time were started off as being very private and then grew to be something that were shared often in workshop or with other readers that I trusted, friends, and then to become something that is out in the world. That's been a really interesting and illuminating and lovely process to have people connect with those poems and to read reviews of them. And that's been a really marvelous thing.
Mm-hmm. To what extent, as you won this prestigious fellowship, is it, as you apply for something like that, what are they looking for? Is it the published works? Is it works that you send to them? How did the Sargeson Fellowship, what were they sifting through to eventually choose you for this?
Yes, creative sample, so poems. The fellowship is also for fiction writers, playwrights, other creative writing, not just poetry, but in my case, poems, and a description of what you'll be working on during that time, your project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. Again, that begins next month for Dr. Honam. And Dr. Honam, as we head into the final couple of minutes of the program, I want to ask you if you have some poetry to share with us, if there's a favorite work, whether it's one that you yourself have done or one that's been particularly meaningful to you. Is there one you could share with us today here on Baylor Connections?
Yes, thank you. I did select one. This is a short poem. This is one of my favorites to read, because I remember the exact moment that sparked it. What I describe in the poem really did happen. It is about a turkey, wild turkey. And I was on a writing residency in a cabin in New Hampshire. And I had been trying to write all day and, it's drafting and being frustrated and thinking, what am I going to write about and how, and, just going through all my various drafts. and really not striking on a subject. And then what happens in the poem really did happen, as I saw this huge turkey. I was in this cabin in the woods, and that's what I wrote about. Mm-hmm. So I remember the moment very vividly, so I enjoy reading this one. And it's called Assembling Faith. A huge turkey came down the path, serene, only slightly more beautiful than ugly. It looked as though it had made itself out of morning's spare parts. I wanted to put something together like that, without a mirror. Long feathers, waxy red dribble, and yet it glided, almost regally, into the misty woods.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. First part, it just shows that you can find inspiration anywhere, some pretty unexpected places. But that also ties in, you said you like themes of beauty in your poetry, slightly more beautiful than not. Was that something that really spoke to you?
Yes, I had never seen a huge turkey like that. I'd never seen that. And yes, and it was something that I thought was at once beautiful and quite strange.
Quite strange. Well, very good. Well, Dr. Honum, thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you so much for your time today on the program. Congratulations on the fellowship and best of luck as you head down to New Zealand for the next 4 months.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Chloe Honum, the winner of the Grimshaw Sargeson Fellowship, New Zealand's most prestigious writing fellowship, a Baylor Assistant Professor of English, and award-winning poet, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other Baylor Connections programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.